Let's go ahead and start by looking at Titus chapter 3 verse 9. Now, if you notice, I gave out a piece of paper tonight. If you haven't received one yet, Al and Corey both have some, or Al has some. He'll get some to you if you need one. Just raise your hand. He'll come and get it to you. I did take the liberty of putting the verses on the paper, but I am going to be turning to some of these and kind of looking at context before and after the verses. You're welcome to join me as I do so. Our first one will be in Titus chapter 3 verse 9. So, the first question that we're going to be responding to in regards to both the video Marching to Zion by, I think, Stephen Anderson is his name, and just by replacement theologians in general, is the verse in Titus 3:9 states, "But avoid foolish questions and genealogies and contentions and strivings about the law, for they are unprofitable and vain." The first question we're going to deal with is the fact that replacement theologians claim Jews and Gentiles have the same ancestors. So the question being, do Jews and Gentiles have the same ancestors? That's what is claimed by replacement theologians. Replacement theology teaches that the church has replaced the Jews and is therefore able to accept all the covenants that God has made with the Jews and the blessings that come with the Jews, that those are for the modern church as well. And in order to attain that philosophy, they have a lot of thoughts and a lot of beliefs to attain that, and we're going to deal with one of those tonight. They claim that as Christians today, we have the same ancestors as Jews, and therefore, we are Jews. Now, Titus 3, verse 9 says this, "Avoid foolish questions and genealogies." That was really the main thing that was focused on in the video, and by replacement theologians, the fact that, why are we claiming that as Gentiles, we are separate from the Jews, when it seems in Titus 3, 9 that God is saying, don't worry about genealogies. Now, what are genealogies? Genealogies is basically your ancestry. Go to Ancestry.com, get that good, a pretty good idea of where your ancestors came from. Did they come on the Mayflower? Are they already here when the Mayflower arrived? You know, what part of the world were you from before they migrated here to America? So Ancestry.com, I think on the video they went and got their DNA swab and had a list of all the various people groups that they might have had ancestors of. And so replacement theologians claim God tells us right here to avoid genealogies, to avoid looking back on our ancestors and determining who are our ancestors. So, they say, if we are to avoid determining who our ancestors are, then why are we making a big deal out of the fact that Jew or Gentile? If we're just to get genealogies off the ship completely, and to just view each other all as human beings, then what does it matter if you're Jew or Gentile? What really matters is that you're a Christian, and therefore can benefit from the covenant and blessings that God promised Israel. Now, here is what I believe this passage of Scripture is talking about. And by the way, replacement theology is not alone in their efforts to put out a teaching that's not biblical. There's all kinds of denominations, all kinds of religions, even all kinds of cults that claim this is what the Bible teaches. And this is how they go about it. They take a verse, and without looking at the context before and after, without looking at the context of that book as a whole, without looking at the context of the New Testament and Old Testament, and without looking at the context of the Bible, both Old and New Testament combined, they take one or two verses and say, this is what it's saying, and they leave it at that. That is what is being done to this verse. Let's take a look here. During the first century, Jews had a different belief regarding traditions depending on their tribal affiliations. The Sadducees believed certain traditions. The Pharisees believed certain traditions. Various people groups within the tribes of Judah or Levi would have certain traditions. And depending on their family, not just their tribe, but even their sub-tribe, they would have debated what laws were more important than other laws. Why? Because, well, grandma said so. Right, don't we as Gentiles even debate things, well, this is what my family does, this is how my family raises children, and this is how my family thinks of pets and how important pets are in the home, if they should be in the home or not in the home. This is what my family thinks about dress, and, you know, we only wear this type of clothes, and this is what my grandma taught me about remedies and home remedies. Depending on your family and your ancestry, you were taught certain things about life and about truths. Well, the same was true for the Jews. The Jews, depending on their family ancestry within the tribe that they were in, had different teachings, and they held to those because that's what grandma always said. So when this verse is talking about avoiding genealogies, it's not saying don't determine who your genealogy is or your ancestry is. It's saying avoid the, and let's look at this again, the contentions and strivings of the law in the same verse dealing with genealogies because they're all related. Depending on what tribe you're from and what sub-tribe you're from within that tribe and what family you are from, there would be various belief systems about the law, and we're told here, just avoid it altogether. So it's dealing with three things. Foolish questions, genealogies, strivings about the law. All three of these issues fall under the category of man's traditions versus faith. And that is what God is trying to relate to us in this verse. He is saying, stop contending about man's traditions and what your ancestors said and what your family group said and what your tribe claims about the law. Stop worrying about what is claimed traditionally within your tribe and instead deal with the Bible and with faith. The issue was not knowing to which tribe they belong, but putting traditions above faith and scripture. And was that not a prominent issue in Jesus' day? Jesus says, you are teaching the traditions of men as doctrine, and it's a problem. And he said to the Sadducees and Pharisees, you know, you guys are snakes in the grass, and here you are telling the Jews one thing and doing another, and on the outside you look clean, but on the inside you're dirty, because you're not teaching my word, you're teaching man's traditions. If genealogies were unimportant, then why does God record genealogies in both the Old and New Testament? If God is commanding us to not worry at all about our ancestors or where we came from, by the way, specifically the Jews, if God is telling the Jews that that's a non-issue, then why did God take part of his precious scripture to record for us what? Pages and pages of genealogies. Why does God make promises regarding the seed of Abraham and David if all the inhabitants of the earth will receive the same promise? Why does God go to the effort of going to Abraham? And by the way, probably not tonight, I don't see us getting to it, but our next topic will be God's covenants, covenants plural, with both Abraham and the nation of Israel. And I got a whole, once again, two-sided paper here of dealing with all of the covenants that God made with Abraham and the nation of Israel. So if God went to the effort to go to Abraham and say, Abraham, this is the covenant, multiple times with Abraham, multiple times with others throughout the ancestry of Abraham and his ancestors, then why would he do that if all the covenants were meant for all of the world anyways? I don't see any reason or logic why he would, and more importantly, I don't see any biblical proof why he would do that. So, Titus 3:9, avoid foolish questions and genealogies. Is that verse telling us that we are all from the same blood? No, what it's telling us is, stop debating the traditions of men and your tribes based off of your ancestors. Instead, deal with matters of faith. Okay, any questions or comments on that verse before we move on to the second one? Remember, folks, like I said, I would love for you to interact. And if there's nothing to be said, don't feel bad about that. But please don't feel guilty if you want to say something and don't feel embarrassed. Anyone, any questions or comments? Okay, let's move on to the next one, Romans 10:12. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Now, I am going to be turning to Romans 10:12 because I will be reading some passages of the scripture outside of just that one verse this evening. Romans 10:12. There is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. If you were to take just that one verse and look at it by itself, you would have reason to believe that, you know what, Jews and Greeks, the Bible looks at them the same way. That Jews and Greeks, we are all the same. Jews are Greeks. Greeks are Jews. And the Jews are not a special people. But this verse is not referring to nations. It is not saying that nationally Jews and Greeks are the same. What is it saying? It is saying, if you look at Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. What is the context of this passage? It is not nationality. It is salvation. What is God saying when he said there's no difference between your nationality? He's saying there's no difference between nationalities when it comes to salvation. I do not save people because they are a Jew. I do not save people because they are a Greek. God says, as far as I'm concerned, when it comes to salvation, there is no prerequisite in your nationality or your ancestors. You say, now, is that a New Testament belief? In the Old Testament, wasn't it only the Jews that got saved and Gentiles were not allowed to? No, on Sunday, remember I gave you some examples. Rahab was a Gentile. Ruth was a Gentile. In fact, in the ancestry of Jesus Christ. So Gentiles could be saved at any given time. Before Abraham, what was everyone? Everyone was Gentiles before Abraham. Abraham was the first Jew. Many people got saved before Abraham. It was not in the Old Testament only Jews got saved. It was in the Old Testament, for a large part of the Old Testament, God had a chosen people through which he communicated his love and his law to the entire world. Sadly, the Jews didn't do a very good job of being ambassadors for God. Not only did they not follow it themselves, they didn't do a good job of spreading the news to other nations. The Jews became very racist. And so the Jews, instead of being a light to the world, sadly covered the light God gave them. And that's why the Jews we see in the Old Testament constantly were in trouble and were constantly being punished, because they were constantly failing to accomplish what God had called them to do and called them to be. A chosen people of priests, we're told. God had them to be a chosen people of priests in this world. And you say, wait, isn't that the church? Aren't we a chosen people of priests? Yes, we are. The Jews failed in their calling to be the ambassadors to the world. So God said, all right, fine. I'm going to set you aside for a time. And I'm going to give this responsibility to the church now. Now, by the way, folks, as I said Sunday over Romans 11, that's not permanent. That's temporary. There will come a time where God will then rapture the church and he will give that responsibility back to the Jews. So once again, try again to be the ambassadors on this earth. By the way, when that time comes, they will succeed. And they will succeed very well at what they do when that time comes. For now, though, that responsibility is temporarily put on the shoulders of the church. Although in the Old Testament, it was put on the shoulders of the Jews. The Jews were very poor at it, so we don't see very many Gentiles getting saved. Sadly. I'm not saying that's the only reason. The Gentiles in the Old Testament were also very, very wicked. You know, killing their own babies and all kinds of immorality going on in their worship. So, sadly, the Gentile nations influenced the Jews instead of the Jews influencing the Gentile nations. So, this verse is not talking about nationalities. It's talking about God's dealing with mankind in their sin. It's not talking or dealing with the covenants God made with the nation of Israel. If you read Romans chapter 10, you don't read in there about God's covenants and talking about the land covenants and the other covenants he made with Abraham. And nowhere in there do we see that God is talking about covenants than when he gets to verse 12 saying there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek when it comes to covenants. No. He says there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek when it comes to salvation. Verse 13. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so folks, verse 13 just reemphasizes again the context of this text, that verse 12 is talking about no difference between the two. God says, whoever calls on me will be saved. All right, we're moving a lot faster than I had thought. That's great. Any thoughts or comments? Yes, over here, if we can get a mic over here. We got one over here, too, for Don, so if we can get the second mic over here so that when we're done with the first, move right on to the second one. Go ahead. Thoughts or comments?
I'm going to go back to number C.
Is that mic on? I'm not hearing you. Is it turned on? And it's a red mic?
Hello, yes.
There you go. Now it's good. All right. Thank you.
I'm going to go back to C.
Under number one.
Number one.
Because
yes. We kind of, flipped over that.
Sure.
Okay. So the genealogies were not important. I think they were because they are recorded.
Right. That's what I'm saying. If genealogies were unimportant, why were they recorded? So
okay.
I'm agreeing with you. They are important. That's why they were recorded.
And he makes these promises. I think a lot of the recording of the genealogies was important. I think because they kept track of the genealogies because of Christ. They wanted to show
Definitely. Where
he was coming from. He was the Messiah.
You are correct.
So I think that was important, and maybe they didn't get it, but all through the Bible it shows the genealogy of Christ coming from Adam.
I would say that's probably one of the most important reasons for genealogies, mm-hmm. is to prove
right.
that Christ is the legitimate Messiah,
right.
the ancestor of the King David and Abraham. I agree. Other reasons for the genealogies, you're right, because I did skip over this, kind of, I didn't deal with mm-hmm. it much. Other reasons would have been, God, I think, is giving us the age of the earth in genealogies, is he not? People debate the age of the earth. And when you look at genealogies and you find that there was this person who got this person, you get a pretty good feel. And Christian theologians, creation theologians, put the age of the earth around 5,000-6,000 years based off of, guess what? Genealogies. Not because nowhere in the scripture does it say the earth is this old. Based off of the genealogy. So that'd be another reason. And then just the fact that, once again, God's covenants were made to Israel, so genealogies would have been important so the Israelites knew who they were. Any other follow-up questions or comments? Because that was a great comment. You were right. So thank you for dealing with that again. Okay, over here we have another comment or question.
Yeah, so kind of hadn't thought about this before, but Nineveh was a Gentile nation, right?
Yes.
And I mean, pretty much that whole city came to know the
For
Lord.
A short period. They had a short period of revival before they flung back into their wickedness sometime later. But yes, you are right.
I wonder why, because it did seem like salvation was mostly of the Jews. And I wonder why God, I guess their hearts must have been ready or something, because he sought them out, right, by sending
You're right. And you know, it's ironic that even when he did send an ambassador of the Jews to a nation, to a city, it wasn't a nation, the city was ready, even that ambassador was a very poor one. And he was sent to one of the most ready to be revived cities at that time, and he still was a poor ambassador. But you're right. Yes, great example of the Gentiles that God did reach out to. Correct. Good. And even in Daniel, when Daniel was exiled and taken to Babylon, we see that Daniel had an impact, and it looks like King Nebuchadnezzar was saved, and the reason we believe that is because part of Daniel was actually recorded by King Nebuchadnezzar. And I don't see God using an unsaved penman to put part of Scripture. So it seems that King Daniel had an impact on some of his Babylonian authority figures, especially the king. So great, great point. Any other thoughts, comments, or questions before we move on? Okay, then let's keep going. Number three. I'm going to deal with something, and you can see I had a lot of information on this one. As I watched this video, I kind of chuckled at this part, and I'll tell you why. I really believe, and I don't know, I'm not a replacement theologian. I don't have a bunch of friends that are replacement theologians. This is the first time I've ever heard this one. And so I'm going to go out on a limb here and kind of say that I don't know that many replacement theologians are going to agree with Stephen Anderson on the next topic that we're going to deal with. And the reason I'm not giving scripture is because he doesn't have any scripture to back this one up. He's just using pure logic. So I'm going to use logic to respond to his personal logic. So let's deal with the question or the supposed evidence that Stephen Anderson brought up in his video, Marching to Zion, proving what he believes to be the case that we are all of the same ancestors. So here's what he claims. We all have Jewish blood in our veins and should therefore be offered the blessings of God's chosen people. In fact, I remember he made a comment. He said, if you have just one person in your family that was even part Jew, you deserve the blessings. And I remember my eyes like, what? Where in the Bible does it say that? Nowhere in the Bible does it say if you have one drop of Jewish blood in your veins that you are promised the blessings. Nowhere does it say that. That is completely an assumption on his shoulders, a claim that he is making sadly behind a pulpit, so it makes it sound like it's biblical, but he doesn't use any scriptural text to back that up because there is none that claims a drop of Jewish blood in your veins makes you a Jew. But that's what he says. If you have any Jewish blood in your veins, he says, you should be offered the blessings of God's people because you are a Jew for having Jewish blood, even a drop of it. He illustrates the likely possibility that over 2,000 years, one or more of our ancestors would have been Jewish. Now, is that true? Most definitely. It's very likely that in our blood, we have not only Jewish ancestors, but Asian ancestors, and African ancestors, and South American ancestors, and North American ancestors. We have probably a little bit of everything inside of us, so I am not going to debate that. What I am going to debate is, scripturally, does that mean we deserve the blessings of the Jews because we have a drop of Jewish blood in our veins? I'm going to tell you no, and I'm going to give you some scriptural reasons why not. So, first one. If having one or more ancestors in our genealogy made you Jewish, then most of the inhabitants of the earth would have been Jewish during the time of Jesus, would it not? He said, hey, let's just go back to the time of Jesus, 2,000 years. And he said, you know, even, by the way, he was even before that. He was talking about you had Jewish blood in your ancestors probably even 400 to 500 years ago. So but he said, in the time of Jesus, if you go for 2,000 years, then probably almost everyone in the world has some Jewish blood in them. Well, if we were to say that, then let's actually look at the time of Jesus and then go back another 700 to 1,000 years before that. What's the difference between the 1,000 years before Jesus and the 2,000 years after Jesus? There is no difference. Meaning this, if we all have Jewish blood in our veins now, guess what everyone had in their veins at the time of Jesus? Jewish blood, right? A lot more likely. Why? Because the world was a lot smaller. The population was a lot less. So it's a lot more likely that everyone walking around during the time of Jesus had in their ancestry at some time Jewish blood, a lot more likely then than it is now. You say, wait, weren't the Jews very careful about not intermarrying? Generally so, but we got to remember that about 700 years before the time of Christ, what happened? The northern kingdom of Israel was exiled and never returned to Jerusalem, to Israel as a whole nation. None of the 10 ever did. What happened to them? They all intermarried to the Gentiles. What did the Jews call those who were part Gentile, part Jew? Samaritans. Now, in the New Testament, did Jesus refer to the Samaritans as Jews? He did not. In the New Testament, did the Jews refer to the Samaritans as Jews? They did not. In the New Testament, did the Samaritans refer to themselves as Jews? They did not. So we find that in the New Testament, very likely a lot of people had Jewish blood. We know the Samaritans did, so let's just use them for right now. We know the Samaritans had Jewish blood. They were not referred to or thought of as Jews by anyone, including the Messiah, God Himself, Jesus Christ. So, the whole argument that, well, if you have Jewish blood, even one drop of it, you're a Jew, falls apart when you look at the time of Jesus and how Jesus dealt with the Samaritans, how the Samaritans dealt with the Samaritans, and how the Jews dealt with the Samaritans. The 10 tribes of the northern kingdom intermarried and they never again returned as a whole nation. What does that mean? It means this, guys, that today, if you are a Jew, very likely you are a Jew from only one of three possible tribes. The tribe of Judah, the tribe of Benjamin, and the tribe of Levi. Good. Why those three? Well, the Levites are the priestly tribe. And the Levites, to this day, have done a great job of maintaining their genealogy. Why? Because they have taken it upon themselves the responsibility of remaining a pure priestly tribe. The tribe of Judah was the largest and the last tribe to not have been exiled. And amongst the tribes that actually returned to Israel as a whole tribe, it would have been Judah and Benjamin. The others, all exiled, never returned as a whole tribe. Judah and Benjamin did. You said, well, what about Levi? Aren't there only 12? There's actually 13 tribes. There's 12 tribes that were given land. The 13th was the tribe of Levi, was not given land. So there was two tribes, Judah and Benjamin, exiled later on, returned as whole tribes. And there was a tribe of Levi that always remained as a whole tribe, even to this day. So, although we have Jewish blood in our veins, we have a whole lot less Jewish blood than the Samaritans, who were not considered Jews. You say, Pastor Russ, are you sure the Samaritans were not considered Jews? All right, let's go ahead and turn to John chapter 4. And let's look at Scripture, because I want to make sure that we stay scriptural in our pursuit of truth. So John chapter 4, verse 9. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, who's she talking to? Jesus. Asketh to drink of me, which am a woman of what? Samaria. Does she refer to herself as a Jew? She actually says, why is a Jew talking to a non-Jew? Why is a Jew talking to a Samaritan? Does she have Jewish blood in her veins? Yes. But she's saying, what are you doing? I'm not a Jew. For the Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. But wait a second, they all have Jewish blood. Aren't they all Jews? Not according to the Bible. Let's look here at verse 22 of that same chapter. Jesus Christ, after speaking with her, this is what he responds to her. Ye worship ye know not what. He's saying, you Samaritans, you guys have temples and you're just worshiping and you hope you're worshiping God, but you don't know what you're worshiping. You don't know who you're worshiping. You're just shooting in the dark. He says, we know what we worship. Who's the we Jesus is talking about? Me and my 12 disciples? No, the Jews. He says, hey, the Jews know who they're worshiping. You don't. You don't have a clue who you're worshiping. Your temple is just some random God. For salvation is of the Jews. How dare you, Jesus, claim that this woman is not a Jew? How dare you claim that she has a drop of Jewish blood, at least some, if not multiple? How dare you put her in a separate category than the Jews? Well, how dare us say how dare him? It is not our duty, responsibility, or privilege to decide God's rules on who is a Jew and who is not. And I think it's very clear here that having Jewish blood in your veins did not make you a Jew. Now, Matthew chapter 15, let's turn there. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. The Bible says, and behold, a woman of Canaan, she is a Gentile, not a Samaritan, but as we said, according to Stephen Anderson's illustration, is it likely she had Jewish blood in her because of her ancestors at some point? Very likely, according to Stephen Anderson. Very likely. And I'm not going to deny that. It's very likely. So although she's a Gentile, she almost definitely had some Jewish blood in her veins at some point in her ancestors. So she comes, verse 22, and behold, a woman of the Canaan came out of the coasts and cried unto him, Jesus, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. So God, my daughter is demon-possessed. Please be merciful to me and help my daughter. Verse 23. But he, Jesus, answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she cries after us. This woman will not leave us alone. Jesus, please, get rid of this woman. Verse 24. But he answered and said, and now he's speaking to the woman, I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of what? Israel. Wait a second. If God doesn't view Jews and Gentiles any different, if God is truly of the mindset that nationality-wise, we are all one blood, then what is Jesus saying here? Well, guess what? God does view us different, nationality-wise. God does have a certain standard for being a Jew, and if you're not, you are a Gentile. Verse 25, then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. Verse 26, but he answered and said, it is not meat to take the children's bread and cast it unto the dogs. Now, she continues to implore God, and Jesus finally gives in and says, hey, you know what? I'm going to help you after all, and he does. And the girl was made whole from that very hour, we're told in verse 28. But the point is this, folks. Jesus Christ himself viewed Jews and Gentiles separately. And having Jewish blood in your veins did not make you a Jew. Now, little c, or large c. God's covenant to Abraham was to those of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's seed. Now, let's talk about seed, because there seemed to be some confusion on the side of that video on what exactly seed meant. Guys, seed means literally your ancestors. Referring to the reproduction that takes place in a romantic relationship. And what happens? A child is born from that seed. And when that child grows up and has children, there are seeds as well, but they all came from the great-great-great original grandfather, whatever the case may be. So seed literally means ancestors. It does not have to mean one. Seed does not have to mean your seed. My seed are my daughters. Now, could it mean just my daughters? Yes, at this point. But when my daughters grow up and have children of their own, does it mean only my daughters and not their daughters? No, it could also mean, plural, their daughters as well and their sons as well. Now, we're going to look at this a little more in depth later, so I don't want to get too much into it right now. But just right now, seed means your ancestors. And usually, in most contexts of Scripture, it's dealing with plural ancestors, all of the ancestors that came from you. Now, there is a passage, of course, talking about the seed of Abraham, referring to Jesus Christ, the Messiah, you know, the one that was promised to come. But often, the context when it's giving the covenants is talking about just all of his ancestors. Okay, keep in mind, Abraham had multiple children, and Isaac had two, Jacob and Esau. God did not make a covenant with everyone who could trace their lineage to Abraham. He only made it who could trace their lineage to Abraham through who? Isaac and Jacob. Did you catch that? Did you know that Abraham, after Sarah died, he actually had six more sons? Do we claim that they're all Jews? Were they not all children of Abraham? No, but there are no covenants given to them, and they're not Jews, according to God. But wait a second, they have the seed of Abraham in them. Yes, they do. But God said, specifically, the seed of Abraham through Isaac and through Jacob, not just because you are a descendant of Abraham. In the Old Testament, one could not be a Jew, and this is really important, folks, you got to catch this. You could not be a Jew unless your father was a Jew, and your father's father was a Jew, and your father's 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 father was a Jew. In fact, that video of Stephen Anderson, he said, my grandmother was a Jew. That makes me Jewish. No, according to the Old Testament, he would not be Jewish unless his dad was a Jew, and his dad's 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 dad, so on and so forth. Unbroken line on the father's side through the fathers were Jewish. Now, does that mean today, nationally, in Israel, that they follow that same scenario? I don't believe so. I'm not aware of that being the case. But we're not talking about that, are we? We're not talking about who Israel views as Jews and who Israel doesn't view as Jews. We're talking about who God views as Jews in relation to this promised covenant to his people. And you say, where in the Bible does it say that it had to be through the Father? Well, let's go ahead and take a look. Numbers chapter 1, verse 1. Numbers 1:1. Now, this is one of many passages that deal with this topic. I only wanted to bring up one, but if you feel like there needs to be more, you know, I can get you some more at a different time. But you find when the genealogies are traced, they're always traced through who? The Father. So that's an illustration of this truth. But let's look here where Jesus commands the Jews and what he says, Numbers chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. And the Lord spake unto Moses into the wilderness of Sinai in the tabernacle of the congregation on the first day of the second month, in the second year after they were come out of the land of Egypt. Take ye, verse 2, the sum of all the congregation of the children of Israel after their families. Okay, if it just ended there, you know what? There'd be some argument. If your mom was a Jew and your dad wasn't, you'd still be a Jew. If it ended there, but it doesn't. It goes on. By the house of their fathers, with the number of their names, every male by their poles. If a woman was a Jew and they decided she wanted to marry a Gentile, her children would not be Jews. Now, does that mean God doesn't love them? God loves the world. God loves everyone. So please don't mistake me. I'm not saying that God loves you less because you're not a Jew. But I am saying you can't claim the covenant of God that God gave the Jews unless your father was a Jew. Now, what if your father was a Jew and married a Gentile? Guess what? You were a Jew. You were. We find that with Rahab. Wasn't Rahab a Gentile? Yeah, and Jesus Christ came from that lineage. Wasn't Ruth a Gentile? Yes, Jesus Christ came from that lineage. King David, much closer to that. So the Jewish men could marry Gentile women. But if Gentile women or Jewish women married Gentile men, then they didn't have Jewish children. Now, you can complain about that, and you can have a personal issue with that, and that's between you and God at this point. I'm sorry. You have to debate that one with God, okay? God has made it very clear that it was through the males that they were Jews. So this whole idea that, well, I've got some ancestry of Jewish blood in me, well, let me ask you this one question. Is your father a full Jew? No, then you're not a Jew. We'll just leave it at that. Let's not even deal with your genealogies and debate genealogies and talk about drop of Jewish blood in your veins. It doesn't matter. Your father wasn't a full Jew. You're not a Jew. What about my father half Jew? Well, then he's a Samaritan. He's not a Jew either, because in the New Testament, Jesus Christ didn't view them as Jews. So you're out of luck unless your father's a full-blood Jew. He'd say, well, then there's not very many full-blooded Jews in the world. So, what difference does that make? Does that change God's covenant because there's not very many of them? No, there's no difference. Well, I don't think there's any. Well, there I would debate with you. I would say there's a lot of Jews that would debate with you on the fact that I can, through my father's line, we are full Jews. Now, my father married a Gentile, my great-grandfather married a Gentile, but that doesn't matter. Scripture doesn't care. God doesn't care. So there are Jews who have Gentile blood through the mother's side, but no true Jew, in Scripture's view, according to the covenants God promised them, has an unbroken line on their father's side. Now, there's more. I'm going to get to it, but let's open it up for questions or comments now, because that was a deep one. So any thoughts, questions, or comments on that particular point? Are you guys all stunned in the silence? There we go. We got one. We're going to get you a mic there, Sue. Yeah, just for the sake of those listening online. Go ahead.
I often wonder what today's Jews, are they really, really from Abraham's lineage, or are they not? I mean, it's been such a long time.
Sure. So, once again, there's only one of three tribes they're going to be from. And if they can truly, truly trace it, it's probably going to be the tribe of Levi or the tribe of Judah. Tribe of Levi, because they're just so meticulous as the priestly tribe of making sure that we only marry Jews, or our father was a Jew, that kind of thing. To be a true priest, you have to be a Jew. So they were very careful, and to this day are very careful about tracing their ancestry. So the answer is yes. I guarantee you, there are Jews that can trace to their father's line, definitely from the tribe of Levi. Other than that, it's probably going to be the tribe of Judah, although Benjamin was also returned from exile, but the tribe of Judah was just so much larger. So the percentage of being a full Jew is more likely to be the tribe of Judah. Which makes it very interesting. During the time of Jesus, most of the Jews at that time were probably of one of two tribes, if at the most, only three. So Jesus was not talking to the tribe of Reuben and those from other tribes of Manasseh. He was only talking to probably Jews from only three tribes, Levi, Judah, and Benjamin.
Yeah, but then you have the prophecies, if you want to get into that.
Sure, let's get into
it. The 144,000 from, 12,000 from each of the 12 tribes.
So, just because they don't know and we don't know, does that mean God doesn't know?
Right.
Okay, that's the main thing. So, when I said able to trace back, I don't think anyone can trace back unless they're probably the tribe of Judah, Benjamin, unlikely, or Levi. Doesn't mean it hasn't happened. Once again, does God need certain numbers? Well, he's already given us prophets, and you just mentioned it, 144,000, so well done on that. But that's really not a whole lot. And that wouldn't take long for even just a few Jews to get to that point if they started having children, And so obviously there are some that are pure Jews, but doesn't mean we need to know who they are, or it doesn't even mean that they need to know who they are. But a great question.
Because that will happen, the 12 tribes will...
During the tribulation.
During the tribulation.
You are right.
They'll come. And, I guess I just figured if God can create the world, he can certainly bring all these tribes
certainly
together.
Certainly he can. Well said, Sue. I agree. He certainly can. But once again, we're emphasizing if people are able to trace their genealogy. Probably not unless they're from one of those three tribes. Doesn't mean they aren't, though. Okay. Great. You're welcome. Good question. Anyone else? Yes, over here.
So just to be clear, the promise isn't to all the nation of Israel, it's only to specific Jews.
The covenant was to all the nation of Israel, but you got to be a full-blooded Jew on your father's side
to
benefit
from nation,
that covenant.
Right.
Okay, that's a good point. So does everyone who claims Jewish citizenship, can they claim the covenant? No, they cannot. No, that is a great question, and I would say biblically, no, they can't. But there are a whole lot in the nation of Israel that are not only citizens, but do have a full lineage. But then there's some that were granted citizenship that aren't. In the Old Testament, did we read about strangers coming into the land of Israel and staying with the Israelites and working with the Israelites? And God said you can't turn them into slaves. You got to be nice to them and that kind of thing. Did that mean because they lived amongst the Israelites and might have even married a Jewish woman that their ancestors also benefit from the covenant? No, I don't think anyone would have expected that. So whatever we would have expected in the Old Testament with strangers living amongst the Israelites, we would expect the same today. Regardless of what they think, remember, we're looking at the Bible. Okay, great question, great comment. Any other thoughts? Okay, then let's move on. Making great time. I'm glad we'll be able to finish this one today. Some may claim to be Jews and even accepted as Jews by the nation of Israel, kind of talking about what Rebecca had mentioned. But political acceptance does not require God's acceptance as His chosen people. Now, I haven't done a lot of research. My understanding is Israel, you can be a citizen of Israel. Some stipulations have to be required. I think you've got to, you know, quote some Jewish doctrine and things like that and have to have a rabbi kind of say, yes, you can be a Jew. And I guess you've got to claim at least some drop of blood in your ancestry, which wouldn't be hard, and Israel will accept you as a citizen. I think you also have to, according to that video, so they claim you have to denounce Jesus. I don't know if that's true, but it sounds legitimate. I wouldn't debate that issue. It doesn't matter. Just because Israel says you're a Jew doesn't mean God says you're a Jew. It doesn't mean God promises all covenants, or His covenants to everyone that Israel says, stamp approval, they're a Jew. Well, that's not, God's not bound by Israel's political view of their citizens. Okay, last point. The only tribes, and we kind of discussed this, that likely have pure ancestors, Judah, Benjamin, and Levi. Those who come from the tribe of Levi would know due to the traditions among the Levites when passing information down from father to son. Those who are not Levites are probably from the tribe of Judah. Very likely, if they're going to be able to trace their lineage. But as was pointed out, there has to be some pure Jews that just don't know it, what tribe they're from, because of the prophecy given about in tribulation period, about 144,000 Jews, each 12,000 from each of the tribes. Okay, well, we finished that whole first page. To be honest with you, I wasn't sure we're going to do it. If you notice, I did leave blanks, and I did that purposely. I didn't leave blanks like I do on Sundays for you to fill in, but I left spaces between for you guys to write notes, questions, thoughts. And if you take this home, and if you look at it a little deeper and say, you know what, there's a question I have, write it down, bring it back with you next Wednesday, and I'll be more than happy to backtrack and respond to any questions that you have from previous Wednesdays. So I purposely left spaces on this for you to use as a sheet to take notes on, and I encourage you to kind of utilize it in that area. But we'll end with one last opportunity to have any questions or comments regarding the topic that Jews and Gentiles are all of one blood because we all have Jewish blood in our veins along the way. Any thoughts, comments, questions regarding that? Okay, let's go ahead and close in prayer. Father, thank you so much for your word and the truth that we can find in it. Thank you, Lord, for being sovereign. You have a plan, and we don't need to know all the ins and outs of your plan for it to take place. As was mentioned tonight with the 144,000 Jews, Lord, we don't need to know who's a pure Jew and who's not. We don't need to know what tribe they can trace themselves to. They don't even need to know that. You need to know it, and Lord, we're confident that you do know it. We're confident, Lord, that you have a plan and you're going to fulfill it. And you have a plan not just for the Jews, and we're excited about what you'll do for them, but Lord, but you have a plan for this, for our church, for this church, for your church. And Lord, I want to focus on that as a pastor and as our people, Lord. I don't want to get caught up so much on the future plan that you have for the Jews when we're all raptured. I want to get caught up in the plan that you have for us before we're raptured, that what can this church do for you before you call us home? Please, Lord, let us focus on that. Let us be content with the blessings and the promises you've given our church and your church without having to steal the blessings and covenants you've given to the nation of Israel. In Jesus' name, amen.